You are listening to the Live Free Experience. I'm your host, Brianna Bowley, trauma coach for high performers. I believe that understanding the nervous system and all its wisdom is the key to creating and experiencing all that we desire. And I believe that honest, anything goes conversation paves the way for us to begin a healing journey that has us continuously stepping into more of who we are. I've been blessed to work with, for, and alongside some of the best of the best in their chosen fields. And it's my pleasure to be the platform to share the wisdom and insights I've gained with each of you. Together, we'll explore trauma-informed performance and optimization, business, and self-expression. So in a world where everything touches everything, I encourage you to listen selfishly and with your own circumstance in mind. As I promise, if you found yourself here, there's a piece of wisdom wanting to land in your world. All right. So as always, I'm really pumped for this episode. I'm going to flag just ahead of time for the audience's sake. I'm a little bit unwell at the moment. So if I'm coughing and spluttering or whatever, there's that. I apologize. But today I have a very good friend of mine, someone who I've been on a really cool journey with over the last, how long would it be now?
6 years?
6 years? Yeah, I feel like 6 years.
2016, I reckon.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, we've been on this really cool journey. We've, I guess, supported and watched each other grow and thrive and shift. And it's been a real honor. So today I have my buddy Justin Wiseman joining us. So welcome, Justin.
Thanks, Bree. Thanks for that intro. I reckon it might even be earlier than 2016.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Can I share where I met you?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, so actually, it's really interesting. So I reckon the first time I started to see you was actually on social media before I knew you, right? So at the time, I think you were either like fit. 2015, 14, were you doing like the fitness model thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like I started to see Bree on like Facebook and stuff, and I think that was because at the time, we're like following the same person. And so I started to see Bree. And so in my mind at the time, I was like, oh, Bree's a bit of an influencer in Adelaide in the fitness scene or whatever. And then we ended up going to the same one-day event. And I remember seeing you there, and then we ended up sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
That's how I met you. It was like it was 2015 when we met, like actually met in person. And so it was like October maybe or something, 2015.
Yeah.
And we did a one-day event together. And then from there, we ended up doing the same course, except you did one before I did.
Yeah.
I did the next one, and then we crewed together.
Yeah.
At the event a couple of times.
Yeah.
So, and then that's how our relationship sort of grew. So that was like we really got close in about 2016.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was stalking you on social media from about 2014. So.
You want to hear something funny about that?
What?
One of my back then when I was fitness modeling, like one of my, I don't know, like a stupid unspoken marker of my success in my head back then was like being recognized out in places where I don't expect to be recognized. And I remember like sat next to me and then at some point we spoke and you were like, yeah, like I know you either called me by name or you said something like, I know who you are and or I have you on social media or something. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. But in my head, I was like, yes, I fucking made it.
This guy I don't know knows who I am. I fucking made it.
I was like, yes. Recognized out in public.
Yeah, so interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's an interesting reflection too, because like it's interesting how as you grow, how your idea of what success is changes over time from almost being like some level of outward recognition to like inwardly not giving a fuck about what other people think and the opinions of others and if people recognize you or not. Like it's like, oh, well, whatever, who gives a fuck whether you know me or not?
Totally.
No. Yeah. So it's like interesting to even look at that in regards to like, well, this was my journey. Fuck, it was all about recognition back then. Now what's it about?
Yeah.
You know, what's my version of success now?
Yeah. Know? Now I'm just stoked that Justin Wiseman still knows who I am. So, you know, it's the same.
So if I'm around, it's like I'm the marker of success for you.
Yes. Exactly.
So when I'm not around, it means you're depressed the whole time. And then as soon as, you know, so you've been depressed for a few months because we haven't spoken. Like,
where the fuck is Justin? Come back. Tell me that you know who I am.
I must be failing. Fuck my life.
Yeah. So for the sake of people who don't know you, it feels timely, Talk us through. What do you do? Who is Justin?
So do you want to know who I am or do you want to know what I do?
Oh, bit of both.
So really the way I view myself and the way I like to say things is I help people to like really get clear on who they are and understand that at a deep fundamental level so they understand why they do what they do. But then when they understand why they do what they do, people can then make choices and decisions that best align with that in order to, I guess, expand and grow their life. So, and then from there, like obviously everyone has limitations about their own personal expansion and how they can grow. And so then I help them to break through those limitations to help them really fulfill their life and reach their potential. I guess what's really important to me is like helping people to have an impact in their own way and then seeing that flow on impact once those people transform and seeing how that either affects their family or their business or, you know, like their career or their finances and their wealth. And so seeing the individual expand personally and getting to know who they are and breaking through their shit basically, and then watching that flow on effect onto other people's lives and having an influence and impact in the world. And so that's what's really important to me. And why that's important to me comes down to, I guess, who I am as a person. And where do I start there? That's it. Because like it's a really interesting question because we have our story about who we are as a person, but really to understand who we are as a person is a completely different question, right? And you know, we could get metaphysical here, but I'm not gonna. I'm just sharing a little bit of my story instead of going down that path, which will, you know, we could be here for 4 hours, 6 hours if we start to go down that route. So I guess part of the driver of why I got into this space was I've always been interested in sports and performance when I was younger. So I remember growing up and consistently thinking like about myself, like that I wasn't good enough in sport, right? So it was like football. When it first started, it was really football. And part of the reason why I felt like I wasn't good enough and part of the driver to get good enough was because I felt like I didn't actually get attention and things from girls or recognition. So it's interesting that you're talking about recognition as well. So there was this real, I guess, polarization between wanting to be really good at sport because of what I perceived that meant and not feeling good enough at sport, which then drove me to just try and excel in sport. So football, tennis. So like I got into like some specific teams in football and which in the end I didn't quite get to AFL or anything, hurt my neck. Then tennis, you know, won premierships in tennis. So I was always looking at ways to excel. But interestingly enough, one of the key things which I noticed about myself, which a lot of people didn't talk, in fact, no one around me spoke about, to be honest, was like the thinking behind it. So like I always remember noticing things like how I was thinking about myself and how if I changed the way that I was thinking, I could perform different. Or the way that I was breathing, and if I changed the way that I was breathing, how it would like increase my performance or decrease my performance or change the way that I was thinking. And so from a young age, well, I won't say young age, that was really my best memories are probably in my teens of that. I really became really aware of how my thinking and my breathing and stuff could affect my performance per se. So that was really interesting to grasp onto that stuff at such a young age. But then from there, I, you know, like, found girls. So girls started to become interested with me and sports kind of went out the window for a bit because I was more interested in playing tonsil hockey and shit like that, as happens when you're a teenager or, you know, going into your late teens or whatever. So that became more of a sport for me. Anyway, I ended up having this moment when I was 20. I was in a nightclub and I got pinned to a couch and I had these guys just fucking laying in my face. The experience was quite traumatizing at the time. But what happened in that moment was I felt like I lost my identity. So I had a big, and looking back on it, I understand it now. I didn't at the time. But my appearance was really important to me. So as you can understand, coming from sports and then also part of the driver was to get attention from girls. So also there was an appearance element to that. And so in that moment, I felt like I lost my appearance. Not that I knew that that's what it was. And I pretty much lost, right? So that was at 20. So I lost who I thought I was at 20. That kind of sent me on this downhill spiral. Started to get into, like at the time I'd like been dabbling a little bit with like a little bit of weed and a few pills and stuff just to party, but that really sent me into a downhill spiral because it drove me into like this crazy social anxiety. I couldn't go in public because I had this crazy fear of actually that reoccurring. And so to deal with that, I started taking a lot harder drugs and then, you know, ended up ice, et cetera. Which, you know, when I look at it now, I'm like, fuck, that didn't really help much. But so it was like this whole journey of like losing myself in my early 20s to mid 20s. which, you know, I can talk about that element for quite a while. But that was the void of like then wanting to find myself and figure out who I was. Now, there's a pivotal point in that experience which then links all this together as well. So while in my teen years it had been about performance, then kind of losing my identity, I'd never really been truly interested in like psychology. I'd only been interested in like performance psychology. So there was a moment when, like during this period where I came home, it was a Saturday night, like 3 a.m, been on a bender since about Thursday. Well, not since about, it was since Thursday. And came home and I said to myself, like, I'm not going back. Like in the morning, I'm not going back to this place. And of course I've been up 3 days, so I didn't really sleep. It was more one of those restless fucking roll arounds that you would have. Anyway, I got up in the morning and it was like being the passenger in a car. So I was talking to myself, I was communicating with myself, but it's like my body wouldn't listen, right? So I was like on autopilot. Like no matter what I did, no matter what I said, I could not control like the decisions I was making or the actions I was taking. And so I literally woke up telling myself, I'm not going to go. I got up, I got dressed, still screaming at myself in my head, telling myself that I'm not going to go, that you're not going to do this. Getting in the car, driving there the whole time, like almost like dissociated, watching yourself do this, battling in my head, trying to get me to stop. And I couldn't stop. Drove there, got on the pipe again. And that was one of the key things that made me question, like, how the fuck can you actually, like, what's going in your head first? Like, what's your psychology? But really, it's like, how can you be present but not be in control of your body? Like, how can you be present but not actually have any control over who you are? Of what you're doing. So it was like the accumulation of those three things. So like the driver for sports, so like the performance, and then losing myself, and then like questioning the psychology, how you can't control yourself, which led me to where I am today. Because from there, then I started to get interested in like the like actual psychology of people, not the performance side of it, the other side of it, right? So like, you know, like depression, anxiety, PTSD, but also like some of the concepts, you know, things, you know, that Freud talks about, you know, like superego, ego, id, all that sort of stuff. So starting to understand that. And so that's when my journey began on like really trying to discover myself. And so I understand all this stuff now. I didn't at the time. You know, this is all a retrospective understanding of myself. And so all those pieces sort of formed together to lead me to where I am now and helping people, I guess, not necessarily whether they've been addicted or whatever, but to also discover themselves and help them to expand their lives and to reach their potential and greatness. Beautiful. So does that answer the question?
Totally. You know what I love about having conversations with you? It's like there's no such thing as surface level.
Thank you. I don't know how to do it.
It's like, oh, so what do you do, Justin? And like other people have been like, oh, like, I coach people, and you're like straight down the rabbit hole. It's the best. It's brilliant. It's my favorite thing.
But I it's interesting because I don't know how to do it any other way.
Yeah, totally.
Like I just, and I don't know whether that's from years of like work and also like no longer judging myself on my experiences. Like I love that entire part, like all those parts of my lives and all that part of those elements, like I really have no shame about any of that. Like I'll share that openly and I have nothing to hide. And if people want to judge me on that, well, judge me on it. Like I don't really give a shit because I understand that those experiences have helped me get to be the person I am today. But also there's so much like wisdom that has come out of those experiences that I now get to share with people.
Yeah.
But that's only because I've worked through it and I no longer have shame on it.
Totally. You know,
I'm not worried about people rejecting me. I'm not worried about what people think about me. About that stuff, because I just see it now as a part of my journey. And without that, without those elements and without those voids that it created, I wouldn't be the person I am today, then serving people in the way that I serve people.
Totally. Yeah.
Even this answer's going down the rabbit hole.
Right? Well, you know what? Like, this is the beautiful thing about the work that you and I do. It's like when you can fully own who you are, and not just who you are, but like the uniqueness of who you are, like that's where the magic is. You know, like this skill of yours to not do anything surface level, like that's, as you said, it's something that you could hold shame around or the story of who's, you know, what has happened to make you who you are. Those could be things that you keep under wraps and shy away from and suppress because it's not the norm. But that would also be suppressing and hiding away the thing that actually makes you you. It's the thing that makes you able to do what you do. And so, yeah, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel that the work you do is ultimately about getting people to really own those, like, unique, quirky little bits and pieces of themselves and their story, so that they can actually really hone in on, like, oh, this is my offering to the world. This is the thing that only I can do in the way that I do it.
100%. Like, I literally just spoke through pretty much the voids that drive what I do today.
Yeah.
And most people are totally unaware about their core drivers, whatever you want to call them. Like, their voids are things that actually make them the individual and the reason why they do the things that they do today.
Yeah.
Most people are totally unaware of it.
Totally.
And being unaware of that stuff actually hinders your ability to produce a vision.
Mm.
Because your desire to fulfill the things that you perceive are most missing, the things that created the greatest amount of pain that then you're trying to change, that's actually the thing that you're most committed to into the future.
Yeah.
So without even understanding what your voids are and what your drivers are, it makes it harder for you to actually, you can create a vision, you can write visions down, you can do all that work, you can create a mission, you can write it, but are you actually, like, is your life showing that you're actually committed to that?
Mm.
Because I remember when I first started on, like, this journey and I'd written some mission statements and vision statements, and the truth was is that whenever I read them, I felt like they weren't me. Like, they were incongruent. That was someone else's idea about what impact had to be, or someone else's idea of what mission had to be, or someone else's idea of, like, what purposefulness had to be. It wasn't my own.
Yeah.
Now, that's part of the journey too, because there's shedding those layers of, like, family ideals, social ideals, injected values of the people that you've grown up around, all that stuff. And so there's that journey as well, and knowing how to, you know, separate that from who you truly are. So I had, like, the mission and the vision and stuff totally messed up based on, well, I won't say messed up because it was part of the journey, but I did say messed up, so I'll stick with it. Messed up based on the fact that I wasn't really super clear on who I was and what was driving me, you know. Yeah. And sometimes even when we get clear on that, we can judge those things, which is part of the process of breaking those limitations, because the degree that you then judge those things about yourself will also be the degree that you try to be somebody else. Right. And so the degree that you're trying to be somebody else, you're trying to build a life that isn't yours, you're not going to be committed to that anyway. And then all you're going to do is live in a life of fucking feeling critical about yourself, regretting your actions, beating yourself up because you're not following through on the things that you think you should be following through on. And it all comes back to, like, that lack of clarity of who you are, what your core voids are, what your drivers are, but then also potentially the shame and guilt and things that you have around those past experiences.
Mm.
When really those past experiences could be the key to your gift to the world.
Yeah.
You know, like a mentor of ours, or Dr. DeMartini, you know, he says that the further down and out you are, the greater up and out you go.
Yeah.
And it's true. If you study most people who've achieved great things in life, they've usually got some crazy fucking down and out story that they've reverted and they've gone up and out. Okay. Now, I don't want to say that that means that you have to have some fucked up story to make you great. That's not true either, but you know, the things that you perceive have been your greatest down and outs usually hold the key for your greatest up and outs. So
totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just sitting really relaxing into, like, I mean, this is stuff that I know, quote unquote, know. And, you know, we always need the reminder, get to have the reminder from time to time. Listening to it, it's like just, I was just letting it anchor into my body that, like, you can't fuck it up. You know, like all the things that, you know, and I work heavily in trauma and supporting, you know, women through shame and guilt and the things that they did that they perceive were wrong, or the things that were done to them that were wrong. I mean, I don't even want to say often, I want to say most of the time. It's not actually the thing that happened, it's the way we see the thing that happened, you know. And yeah, as you said, the gift is hidden in the curse, so to speak, you know. So yeah, mm-hmm. Just really, like, I was just listening, like, oh, that's right, like, all of it's perfect, all of it. Mm-hmm. A very timely reminder for me based on just things that I've been navigating in the last couple of days, so thank you.
That's okay. Well, yeah. It just reminds me what you said. I remember when we were working at that event together, and we're crying at the event together, and I remember the note that you wrote on I think it was Daniel.
Yeah.
You wrote him a note, and it was the cave that you fear to enter holds the treasure that you're, what is it?
The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. Yeah.
And I remember that quote, and like if you have a look at your voids and your drivers and the things that you're most fearful of, well, that's, you know, that's where the treasure is. It's like, yeah, that's where the gold is. It's like most people spend their life trying to avoid that stuff, and that's not a good or a bad thing, you know, like it's, yeah, everyone's journey. But, you know, our ability to face those things and discover what's really there is really the key to like your life fulfillment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, your fulfillment lives in those places which you're trying to hide from.
Totally. There's a quote that I drill into my clients' heads, and it's that the antidote is made from the venom.
Mm.
You know, and I've been like, it's no secret, I've been quite outward about this on my social media. I recently took quite a large financial leap. I'm still in the process of, so it was the biggest investment I've ever made in myself. And at the time it was like, I was like, get the spew bucket ready. Like as I hit pay, and I was like, okay. And it's, I'm still in the unfolding of that. I'm still very much in the like tension zone of having that play out in my favor. And I was journaling on it this morning. I have a morning journaling practice where I use the prompt I love, and then just whatever comes through. And one of the things that I wrote was, I love that this financial challenge is actually proof that I'm here to thrive financially. You know, one of the common threads in my life has been having to really push through a lot of financial challenge as an entrepreneur and as a business owner. And, you know, I really feel it in my heart that I'm here to be incredibly financially wealthy from a place of service, from a place of what it then opens up for me and who I have to become in order to create that. But part of the reason why I know that that's for me is because for a lot of my life, it hasn't been present.
Mm.
You know, like I've gone without money. I've been the person sleeping in my car. I've been the person who lives off, you know, 99-cent cans of tuna and, you know, 2-minute noodles. I've been the person who's like scrounging together coins to be able to pay for my next tank of petrol. And so all of those things, it's like, that's proof. Like that's my evidence that, yeah, I'm here to be incredibly financially wealthy because A, I've experienced that, and B, I'm choosing not to avoid it. Like I'm choosing that to be the thing where I'm like, okay, let's dig through this mess and find the gold left over in the pan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's super powerful because literally just what you said, most people would view that perspective or view those experiences backwards. Yeah. They would think that that's a representation of them not meant to have that thing in their life.
Yeah.
When the truth is that where are you having your challenges and problems? That's the areas that you need to grow in. That's where your heart is saying, get fucking uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right? And you know, that most people know this, or well, not most people, but you eventually get to understand the feeling of uncomfortableness. Yeah. And uncomfortableness is almost like your heart's trying to pull you into it.
Yeah.
Right? And so most people would interpret that the other way. You know, they would interpret it as, well, I'm not meant to have it, instead of going, no, I need to step into this. I need to feel into this. I need to solve this because this is what's meant for me. Yeah. You can't feel something that's not empty.
Yeah.
Right? So if something's not empty, then what are you going to put into it?
Yeah.
Can't put anything into it.
Bingo.
So it's like those spaces in your life are there for you, are actually provided for you to grow.
Yeah.
You know? And so most people will look at them the wrong way.
Yeah.
And not recognize what it actually is.
Yeah.
And then use justifications and excuses like why they don't have it.
Yeah.
Or project out onto other people who have that level of success that they don't have, because unconsciously they kind of wish their life was that way, and make excuses and reasons and actually, I guess, vilify those people who have the thing that they don't have.
Yeah.
You know, instead of looking at it as the inspiration, they criticize it because they have what they don't, but they don't realize that the challenges in front of them are trying to get them there to empower themselves to actually have that thing.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
And I think we're all guilty of it. And as you grow in life too, it's not like, oh, every time I feel uncomfortable about something, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, let's go. No, it's like, I still got to deal with that shit of like, fuck, I kind of want to avoid that. Like, get that fucking thing away from me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, fuck, I don't want to fucking deal with you. But I know that you're here for a reason.
Yeah.
Right now I'm just like, oh, fuck off, you know.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah. The what's that wanky quote? Resistance is the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think of, you know, you and I were having a big chat about my recent win in jiu-jitsu, or double win.
I recognize your double green.
Thank you so much. Yes, I made it. Ahead of that, like, I put off competing for fucking years, you know, not just in jiu-jitsu, but Muay Thai, like a lot of different sports that I've been involved in, because honestly, the thought of it made me want to vomit, particularly combat sports. Like, the thought of competing and what could come as a result of it scared the fuck out of me. And I resisted it for so long. I was like, no, it's just not for me, because there's such a heavy weight around it. And then something clicked and it was like, oh no, it's that heavy weight around it that's actually telling me to go there. Then I had this really cool experience where when I finally signed up for the comp, so I did it late at night. I paid my fees and whatever else, signed up, and I was in. And then I went to bed. I was laying in bed thinking about the comp, and it was like I felt this wave of anxiety. And I was like, here we go. Like, here it is. Here's the fucking magic that's actually going to get me over the finish line here. You know, like, this anxiety that's coming up. Like, and I was laying there and I couldn't sleep and I was mulling it over, and I was like, here's my opportunity to put everything that I practice, everything that I coach my clients on, into practice. And actually, like, because I mean, for me, it wasn't about the comp. It was about who I had to become in order to get to that comp. But, you know, yeah, it was like, here's where I get to actually learn and really grow as a person. And so as soon as I felt that first wave of anxiety, I was like, game on, baby. And, you know, you and I were speaking before we hit record about what my experience was, of just how anchored and not nervous I felt. Like, not nervous on any level. I felt like I could have easily taken a nap just before actually getting on there. And that wasn't because I'm like somehow immune to nervousness. It was that I had such an intense fucking anxious experience in the final days leading up to that competition that invited me to work through the nerves. So by the time I actually got there, I'd already done all the work and I was neutral about it. And so, yeah, I mean, I think you can take that analogy and liken it to literally anything in life. The thing that you don't want is actually setting you up to have the thing that you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's interesting too, because anxiety, you know, leading up to the anxiety, if we talk about avoidance, like, most people don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's a curse.
Yeah.
But as you said, it's like, well, it invited me to explore that before it, so I was ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, and often you look within anxiety in itself, or you could say resistance, but let's say anxiety. It's like, okay, well, why? If you explore it, often at times it's like the idea that I'm missing resources to deal with the upcoming thing that I'm going to be taking on.
Yes.
And so, like, really, it's trying to get you to reflect on yourself and have a look at the resources you actually have within you, which is what you need to actually take on the challenge that you're about to face.
Totally. Totally. Well, yeah, I mean, that first night, like, the wave of anxiety came, and then because I was awake, because the anxiety was there, my heart rate was sped up, I couldn't get to sleep. So what was I doing? I was laying in bed and I was like, okay, bar from this position, she does this, arm bar from this position, she does this, I'm going to move into this position. If this happens, I'm going to do this. Like, how do I want to start the match? And I was like mulling it over in my head, and funnily enough, how it went on comp day was actually exactly what I came up with that night. Like, minus maybe a couple of tweaks, but almost like play for play, it went exactly how I mulled it over in my head that night. And like you said, it was that anxiety was keeping me awake to come up with my game plan, you know. And if the anxiety hadn't have been there, or I had have, you know, instead chose to do what I think a lot of people do, and of course, like, this is what society teaches us to do, to avoid, or to, you know, go and smoke a joint or whatever, or like take some melatonin or whatever to get to sleep and to avoid that anxiety, I would have missed out on that opportunity to actually come up with my game plan. So
that's super potent, isn't it?
Yeah
And it's just interesting too, because, well, it just reminded you of the resources that you already had.
Yeah.
It wasn't there saying, hey, you can't do this, or hey, this is a bad thing, like, get the fuck away from it. It was like, hold on a second, I'm going to remind you of your resources.
Yeah.
You know, and as soon as you realize you got the resources, what happens? Well, fuck, it's gone.
Disappears. Yeah, totally. I had another experience actually that this was the Thursday before I comped. It was the last session before my comp. It was the last roll before my comp, and it was the last minute of that last roll. And I got tapped out by one of the blue belt, one of the purple belts at the gym. It was the kind of submission that, A, I wasn't expecting it. Like, it was a pretty, well, by my standard, it was an advanced move. Wasn't expecting it. Got cranked on really quick. Not only that, but my reaction to it made it get cranked on even harder. For a moment, I thought I'd injured my shoulder. And so my instinctual reaction was burst into tears. And so I laid on the mats on my back, just crying. And for me, like, that was one of my fears around competing, that, like, what if A, I get hurt, and B, I get hurt in a manner where it has I have a reaction in front of a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had that happen, pulled my shit together, like, said to my teammate, like, it just scared me. That's all, it just shocked me. I think I'm all good. Oh, you know, that's that. Left the gym and I was like, fucking hell, like, of course I get injured. Last session, last roll, last minute of the roll before my comp. And then I was kind of driving home and I sat with it and I was like, oh my God, I just experienced my greatest fear around the comp and I didn't die. Nothing bad happened. Like, it wasn't that embarrassing. I literally just said, hey, it just scared me. I'm all G. And that was that. And so, like, that happening, I could have easily gone, oh, this is fucked. And, like, maybe I shouldn't compete, but, you know, and create this whole story. And instead I chose to make it mean, like, that was actually just another thing prepping me to be able to handle whatever may happen on the weekend. And so I've experienced the quote unquote worst of the worst. I'm good. I can handle any of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. It's all in what we make it mean.
100%. Just comes down to your perception of the situation and then the stories that you place on those perceptions of what you've experienced.
Yeah.
And again, it comes down to, you know, like what I was talking about at the start. And there's different degrees of that, right? So, like, as you're journeying through life, it's like, well, you know, you've made the decision to take on this challenge, basically journey into that cave, right, where the treasure is. And, of course, what normally happens when you make that decision as well, well, you get fucking tested.
Yeah.
You know, you get tested with the shit that's going to say, well, how much do you actually want this?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to throw barriers up here and you're going to have to face these barriers. And you can either choose to, like, take those barriers on and overcome them, or you can choose to fucking go back and start again.
Yeah.
You know, and so the interesting part is that most people know when they choose to go back and start again, they feel it in their heart.
Yeah.
They feel it in their heart. They're like, fuck, I should have made a different decision.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of going back and starting again. And so this is what a lot of people can either label as failure or, like, you know, like, oh, I'm not good enough, etc., because of not overcoming the barrier. But what they don't realize is the barrier was just a test.
Mm-hmm.
How fucking much do you want it? You want it or not?
Yeah.
You know, and if you want it, you'll overcome it. If you don't want it, if you truly don't want it, you probably won't overcome it.
Yeah.
Right. And then the question becomes is like, well, okay, if I didn't overcome it and I went back, is this an alignment issue or is it like this actually truly not for me?
Yeah.
You know, and so therefore, was it really a failure or was it just trying to push me back on track?
Yeah.
You know,
I say this to clients often, you know, and whether that be that they're athletes or business owners or whether it be in their relationship or whatever, it's like, do you know how I know that this thing is for you? Because every single time you've had a challenge, you've stayed in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the marker, because, you know, like, a challenge is that feedback mechanism. So it's either the feedback mechanism comes in and that, you know, that challenge or that thing that's calling you into the next level, into the next piece of the puzzle, either has you go, fuck this is too hard, I quit. In which case, like, there's zero shame in that. It just wasn't truly for you. Or that comes up and you go, right, like, I'm stepping in deeper. I'm figuring this out. I'm choosing to become a new version of myself in order to figure it out. And then that's like, yeah, that's the marker of when it's really meant for you, when no matter what happens, you know, again, coming back to my example of as an entrepreneur, I know I'm meant to be filthy rich because I've stayed the course. Like, I've been through the worst of the worst in my financial game as an entrepreneur and I'm still here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's, yeah. It's all in how we look at it.
Okay. Well, it's the key. It's 100% you're spot on, because the areas of your life where not necessarily the areas of your life, but the things that you have the most ambition in, which is the ability to take on challenge and support, the ability to take on pain, whatever's thrown at you yes, it can. It doesn't mean that you don't have emotions about it. It doesn't mean that you think, fuck, I should just fucking quit.
Yeah.
But there's also a part of you that says, no fucking way are you quitting.
Yeah, totally.
Like, because you might want to quit and you might fucking have a week where you think, fuck this, and you're in the dumps and you're fucking in your pity party and you're telling yourself stories and you're fucking looking at all the other options. It becomes so hard. It's like, fuck, this is so challenging. And then all of a sudden your brain starts popping up all the fucking shiny objects that are the complete opposite of the challenge that you're facing. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, financial, this is really hard financially. Oh, I could just go and get a job. Oh, it'll be easy. I've done this before. I know I can make money and it'll be okay. And so your brain starts to like throw up the counterbalancing opposite of the challenge that you're facing, right? But there's a part of you that goes, I don't fucking want that. Like, yeah. Even though you're fantasizing about it, there's a part of you that goes, I don't want that. So yeah. You might have a week of pity party, but then you're like, fuck, all right, it's time to go again.
Yeah.
You know? So it's such a game, you know, it comes back to, and we've mentioned this a time so far, it's like most people do the opposite.
Yeah.
It gets harder if it's challenging. They think that it's not meant for them. This idea of everything's meant to be flow and ease that gets thrown around out there. No, it's fucking not.
Yeah.
Think of it like this. You make the decision to grow and get uncomfortable. That means everything in your world is going to change. That means everything in your world becomes unfamiliar. And when everything in your world is changing, becoming unfamiliar, guess what fucking happens? It becomes uncomfortable. It becomes painful. It means you're fucking facing stuff that you've never faced before. And you think that's meant to be ease and flow. No, motherfucker, that's not ease and flow. That shit fucking hurts. That's discomfort. That's uncomfortable. But there's also an inner part of you that goes, this is disgusting, but I kind of fucking love it.
Yeah.
Right? But you've got to understand that it's not ease and flow. Yes, you can have moments of that. You overcome your period of challenges and problems, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this feels a bit nice. But then also, then the question can also be, well, am I not challenging myself enough? But, you know, like taking on the hardships, dealing with the challenges now creates like, you know, like ease later on.
Yeah.
So understanding that most people go, well, fuck, it's going to be ease and flow and not challenge. Well, I kind of disagree with that, because if you're actually transforming, that is challenge, because you've got to deal with things that are new.
Totally.
Like if we even just go to the idea of chaos in physics, and I don't know if I'll go down this path, kind of like just quickly, if you even go into the idea of chaos in physics, it's like anything that we don't understand, we label as chaos.
Yeah.
Right? And because we don't understand it, we can't fit it into our boxes, or we can't see how it's actually, well, we might be able to see how it's serving us, but it doesn't, we can't quite fit it together yet. We're like a bit confused by it. We call it chaotic and not ordered. And so as soon as we step into chaos and we're trying to change everything, in our mind it becomes chaotic. And that chaos creates hardship, it creates many things. Right, mm-hmm. Which we're unfamiliar with, especially if it's like our first step on that journey.
Yeah.
So stepping into challenge and constantly taking on bigger challenges in a specific element of your life is feedback that you're on path.
Totally.
You're running away from challenges. And this is interesting too, because if you have a look, if you're running, if you spend most of your life trying to avoid challenges, you have the fucking most challenging fucking life.
Totally.
You know, your life's trying to fucking push you in direction and you're trying to avoid it all.
Yeah.
You know, and often this is interesting. You can see it in people's physiology. The people who try to avoid challenge and hardship the most usually look like they've had the most hardest and challenging lives.
Totally. That's so true.
You know, it's like all over their face. It's like, dude, how old are you? Like 80? No, I'm like 52. Fucking hell, you look like you've had a hard life.
That's so true.
But those who've chosen their challenges and taken challenge, like challenge after challenge on to expand themselves, those motherfuckers look like they're 50 or like 75.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's physiological feedback that you're on path, that you're congruent.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some of those, you know, like I remember looking at some speakers when I was a bit like, you know, like early on in the piece, and I was like, fuck, this guy looks so good.
Yeah.
Like up on stage doing his thing, dude's like 75. I'm like, man, he looks like he's in his 50s.
Yeah.
You know, like, just it's like glowing, radiant. It's like,
it's like Dr. John DeMartini. I remember meeting him in person for the first time and being like, this motherfucker, like a similar age to my parents. And it's like, I mean, all love to my parents, but like that the difference of, you know, same age, but DeMartini, like you wouldn't, he just looks so young and vital, you know, and energized. It's amazing. Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But I think that's not from choosing ease.
No, exactly.
That's from like having a vision, having a mission, and choosing the challenges that come along with that, and that vision and mission being aligned to that individual.
The nervous system is literally the foundation for your performance and emotional and mental equilibrium. The degree at which you'll allow yourself to stay focused, perform well, and excel in your chosen pursuits, be those vocational, relational, financial, athletic, the list goes on, comes down to how flexible and adaptable your nervous system is through a variety of stresses, pressures, and the joys and pleasures of life as well. Thing is, it's not just about processing the sticky points of life, but processing the ease as well. After working with high performers across business and sport, I took everything I've learned about the nervous system and I packaged it up into my self-paced online program, Rewire the Nervous System. With Rewire the Nervous System, you get access to weekly audio trainings via the exclusive members portal. You get lifetime access to our ever-expanding nervous system regulation toolkit, which means that you have the tools readily available via your device. You get lifetime access to our twice monthly live hot seat coaching calls and your Majesty's Sacred Circle ceremonies, as well as access to the call replays in our growing call vault in the members portal. You'll get weekly tasks, challenges, and journal prompts all relevant to your unique goals and desires. You get exclusive access to ongoing support and bonus training in the Rewire the Nervous System Facebook group. And of course, you'll get access to a growing, like-minded community of incredible high performers. So if Rewire the Nervous System sounds like the right fit for you, or you want to know a little bit more information, head to www.briannaboley.com/rewire the NS or follow the link in the show notes. The cool thing, though, is when you, at least this has been my experience, when you choose the challenge, it kind of becomes enjoyable. Like going out and facing all these really intense challenges becomes deeply pleasurable. You know, like there's kind of a little eyebrow raise. You know, it's like this experience of like, I mean, I've had experiences just in the recent weeks where I've had to face some shit that really scares the fuck out of me, like heavy legal conversations, accounting conversations, things that like are so far out of my comfort zone. And I hang up the phone after speaking to a lawyer and I'm like, damn, like I'm a fucking boss. And it's like, that was hard. That was so terrifying for me. Even in the challenge and even in the fear, it's like, oh, I kind of like this. Like there's almost this like sadistic part of me that's like, yeah, I'm about to fucking grow.
100%. 100%. Yeah. It's literal feedback.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you're here to do. And I believe, my core belief is that every human being is on the planet is here to have an impact and is here to grow.
Yes.
And whatever that impact is individual to the person, and there's no right or wrong in that, whether that's like to be the fucking, you know, the Kennedy's grandmother or mother, you know, like hers was to raise inspired children and inspired leaders, and she got four of them, you know. So some people might look at themselves and go, well, being a mother isn't fucking inspiring, but well, if that's your vision, that's your mission, and that's what's intrinsically you're driven to do is expand in that space, of course it's fucking inspiring. That's your impact.
Yeah.
Right? That's your legacy right there, your children.
Yeah.
So I think that no matter what you're here to do, I think that every human being is here to have an impact and is here to grow. And if you avoid that growth and you avoid expanding your impact, I think you know that. You know within your soul that you're not living up to your own potential.
Yeah.
You fucking know that, and you can't avoid that. And you get feedback your entire life. You know, if we go back to using the people who look like they've had chosen ease their whole life, but their life's been fucking hard.
Yeah.
Right. They know internally that they never lived up to their own expectations if you have a deep enough conversation with them.
Absolutely.
You know, and that they probably could have done, and we all look, I guess we can all look at things and go, we could have done things differently, but we get feedback. Those who are committed to their growth and those who are committed to their influence and their ability to have an impact are the individuals who look like I said earlier, they look the youngest. They have the most energy. They have the best health. You know, they have all these things that is giving them feedback that they're actually here on the planet and doing what we're here to do.
Totally. Mm. I always say to my clients, be careful what you wish for. You know, the thing when you name what you want, like, yes, you're getting all of the blessings and all of the quote unquote positives that come with that, but you're also getting all of the challenges and all of the curse that comes with that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just want to highlight, like, all of it is neutral. It's neither good nor bad, but, you know, we obviously fantasize about this thing that we want, but we disregard what it takes to get there. And as soon as you set that intention, it all starts coming at you. Mm-hmm. You know, I was laughing listening to you speak because just the other night I was sitting with in a relationship dynamic I'm in at the moment. We were sort of setting these intentions and we were like, you know, this is what we want to create and da-da-da-da-da. And the next morning, everything that was like in the way of that vision, like right on cue, first thing in the morning, just bubbled straight up. And my first reaction, if I'm really honest, was like, what the fuck? Like, we just fully yo-yoed on what we said. Like, we went and said all of these things and then not even 12 hours later, and we've done the complete opposite. And then it was actually my housemate, bless her, who said to me, no, Brie, what got highlighted was everything that's in the way of you having what you set your intention for. So this is actually coming up so that it can be worked through and grown beyond so that you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, you know, that it's incredible. Like, the universe just, it weaves its magic. You speak it and then not a moment later, you know, the reasons why you can't currently have it.
Yeah. Well, it's putting the things in your path. Like, it's interesting because when you set those intentions and then it throws that stuff at you, you can look at it in many ways, right? But let's just say it throws it at you. It's like, well, the path to get to where you want to go is always blocked by boulders and shit that you're going to get through. And so when we set the intention, like you said, we're looking at the upside. But often most people, and we could use this in goal setting or whatever, you know, like, most people don't then go and look at, okay, what are the problems and challenges that are actually inhibiting me from actually achieving that thing? Mm. And so when those problems and challenges or drawbacks, disadvantages show up, most people go, oh, fuck, this wasn't part of the plan. Well, hold on a minute. You were sitting on cloud nine in fantasy land thinking it's going to be some, you know, beautiful journey on the way there, which, you know, it's all part of it. But then you get slammed in the face with all the fucking things that you need to deal with, the growth parts that you need to deal with in order to get you to that place.
Yeah.
But it's like, most people want things but don't want challenges to come along with getting there.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, I want to be flying to the top of Everest so I don't have to climb it so I can get the view. You know, well, you think the value of the experience of being on top of Everest would be the same by fucking flying there on a helicopter, yeah, or by climbing it? Yeah. I'm telling you now that the value of getting to the top of Everest is in the hard work of fucking getting there.
Yeah.
And knowing you did that, it's not fucking flying up there on top of a helicopter. I don't even know if you can do that. There might be too thin. But, like, you know, like, and that's the truth.
Yeah. So
it's like, if you think that you can, you know, like, your intentions are going to be met with, like, this smooth path.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, sorry. It's like, you know, it's like, if you could have the ultimate relationship, and whatever that is for you as an individual, the ultimate relationship isn't through the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
The ultimate relationship is through the path of most resistance.
Yeah.
Because that's where your shit is.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to go to least resistance, just keep doing what you're doing. Same in business or, you know, your training. Like, if you look at your training, well, training's a great one. Look at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and that's not my space, but, you know, every time you hop in the ring or every time you're going to a session to train, you're not doing the path of least resistance. They're teaching you new things. You've got to learn new things. You're taking the path of the most resistance every time. So that the growth comes from the path of most resistance. Yet we all want to fantasize, oh, let's get there on the path of least resistance. Totally. No, sorry. Sorry, mate. The universe doesn't work that way.
Totally.
There's no value in the least resistance path.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to build self-worth by going the least resistant path. You're going to build the worth by going the most resistant path.
Absolutely.
But the only path that's actually there to get there is a path of most resistance. Sorry, people, you can't get there otherwise. So it's not like you actually have an option.
Yeah.
You fantasize about the least resistance, but the only path there is the one that has the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I think this is why, I mean, you and I, before we hit record, spoke very, very briefly about, like, the subtleties of being in survival versus being, you know, I guess, more anchored in your inspiration. It's the same path, but it's like, it's the path of, as you said, the path of most resistance. But it's the difference between, like, are you going down that path, and the whole fucking time you're like, this is shit, like, I'm gonna fucking die, this is horrible, you know, and I guess almost like pushing on that wound of like, yes, this is hard, and let's make it even harder by, you know, consistently just jabbing at that old wound. Or are you coming at it from a place of like inspiration and understanding of like, no, I fucking chose this. Like, I'm climbing Mount Everest and I chose this because I know getting to the top is going to be incredible, and I'm probably going to slip on a few, you know, particles of ice and struggle to breathe and see a few dead bodies along the way. And that's inspiring rather than it being proof of all the ways that my life's a misery. And I think that's a really important piece, you know, because I think so many people are just trapped in making everything a million times harder. And, you know, that's the subtlety. Like, I speak a lot on, like, I guess that ease and flow, but from the place of, like, it's ease and flow because you choose to face resistance with ease and flow rather than facing resistance with even more resistance to the resistance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and it's a good subtlety too, because if you look at it like this, I like to think if you look at, if I wanted to get fit or if I wanted to get to the CrossFit Games, right, and I choose that, I know for a fact, if I fantasized, oh, it's going to be easy, I can get there without ever training, right, you're not getting anywhere. Like, you're literally not getting anywhere. Like, that's the easiest path you could take is to fantasize about it and not do anything that's actually required to get there.
Yeah.
Right. But when you know that if that's what you're choosing, and it's also aligned for you, that the journey, the most resistance is going to the gym every day. You don't fucking necessarily want to get up every day and fucking train. You've trained your ass off fucking 2.5-3 hours a day before. You spent an hour on fucking recovery. You've had to eat, you've gone to bed, you wake up and you train again. Right. So that's your day in, day out. That's the life that you're committing to. Now you've got to fucking love that shit. It doesn't mean that, like, if someone from the outside would go, fuck that, I would never do that. To that individual, it's the path that, yes, has ease and flow in it because they fucking love it.
Yeah.
But you look at it, it's the path of the greatest amount of resistance. It's got the greatest amount of pain because it's the only way for the individual to get there. But if you speak to that individual, what do they love? They fucking love that journey.
Yeah.
They're not fantasized about winning the games. They're talking to you about the day ins, day outs.
Yes.
They talk to you about the challenges, but they're fucking lit up about the challenges.
Yeah.
An individual who was trying to do that, who that wasn't their path, I'm going to tell you now, that's like, the fuck, that probably wouldn't even last a week. Like, that's the truth. You try and live that lifestyle, you know, and obviously there's a build up to that as they go, but, you know, like, I couldn't live that lifestyle.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be for me. I'd be doing my head in fucking every day. I'd be hating my life. You know, so there's flow, I guess, and ease in that, but also it's also embraced with the hardship of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because, like, can you imagine? Have you watched any of the docos on the CrossFit guys?
No.
If you watch the Matt Fraser one, like, you look at like what his routine was, and you go, fucking hell, like, that's intense.
Yeah.
Like, it's intense what he was committed to doing in order to be the greatest.
Yeah.
You know there's sacrifices, you know there's hardships, and he speaks about a couple of them in it. But also, too, you know he fucking loves it because he gets up every day, he doesn't have to be reminded, he's inspired to do it.
Yeah.
And his life is a direct reflection of that.
Yeah.
You know, but you take someone who really has, who thinks, let's say, for example, who thinks that that's what their path is. And there's nothing wrong with testing paths either. Like, that's not a good or a bad thing. It's part of the journey. But who thinks that they want to be the greatest at CrossFit, yet their life actually has no reflection of that, and they start to try and force themselves into that, that's going to be a fucking path of massive resistance.
Mm.
But not only resistance, there's going to be pain without pleasure. There's going to be a lot of pain without pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about it earlier on. It's like there's this sadistic part of myself that loves it.
Yes.
Okay. That sadistic part of yourself is a counterbalancing element that shows you that you're on path. Because I'm facing this hardship, but there's a part of me on the inside going, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the truth.
Yes.
Right? So there's a part of you going, fuck yeah. If there's no part of you going, fuck yeah, and every day you're waking up and you're hating your life, you want to fucking commit suicide, you feel like you have to do all this shit, that's a clear fucking sign, man. Like, you're off path. Like, what's going on here? You need to make a fucking different decision in your life rather than keeping pushing through this fucking resistance and this pain and this destruction because you're trying to achieve something that isn't truly yours.
Yeah.
And you're getting feedback. Getting feedback in your psychology, your physiology, probably in your sociology as well.
Yeah.
Probably people around you giving you that feedback. Now, I'm not one to listen to opinions of others, but you potentially could be getting that.
Yeah.
Right? So.
This is why it's so important to know who you are.
100%. Well,
this is why it's so important to be fucking honest with yourself. You know, like I hear this all the time, and I'm going to go with like a really tangible example, but it's like, oh, I want to lose 5 kilos. And it's like, cool, what are you doing to lose 5 kilos? Like, oh, well, oh, I go to the gym every now and then. Like, you don't want to lose 5 kilos. You like the idea of losing 5 kilos, but you don't actually want to lose 5 kilos. You know, like that's a fantasy. That's a fantasy based on, as we've said, like what you think you will feel or what you think that will mean, but you're not willing to do what it takes. You know, so like this is one thing that I've really learned for myself of like getting so brutally honest with myself. If I say I want something, what's it going to take to get there? And if I'm not willing to do that, I don't really want it. And yeah, I think that's so important. You know, it's with clients, I sit there and I pick into, okay, well, what do you want? Are you willing to go through this? Are you willing to go through this? Are you willing to go through this? Do you really want it? Yeah.
Well, it's such a good way to pick out what's true and what's not, and what's, you know, because if you're willing to go through the hardships and you become aware of them at the start, there's a part of you that fucking goes, fuck yeah, to those hardships. You know, you're on path.
Yeah.
Most people just want to look at the good side.
Yeah.
But if you look at the good side on most things, most people on the planet want to go through the good side.
Yeah.
It's like it's not even a true indicator.
Totally.
But when you're going, fuck yeah, to the challenge.
Yeah. When I first told my coach that I was going to compete, the first thing he said to me was, okay, you need to be training jiu-jitsu 6 days a week and you need to be doing strength and conditioning at least 4 days a week. The first thing I did was go, fuck that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, the thing that I was a yes to was all of the mindset work that I knew would come as a result. And so, like, I stayed with my normal 3 days of jiu-jitsu, 3 days of strength and conditioning, maybe a fourth session of jiu-jitsu if I felt like it, right? And so, I mean, for me, I think my win wasn't based on my jiu-jitsu. My win was based on the mental work that I've done. But that's how I know that I'm not here to be a jiu-jitsu world champion. Because the thought of training 6 days a week plus 4 sessions of strength and conditioning has a visceral fuck no response in my body. Am I willing to go through all of the things that I would need to go through to win, lose, you know, the growth that comes with winning or losing jiu-jitsu competitions? That's what I'm there for. That I'm willing to go through, like the anxiety that keeps me up at night and learning how to navigate that and pick through that so that I can then go and support my clients with that, you know, like that's what drives me. And so that was my marker, because I've had people since the comp say, like, maybe this is you now, maybe you're like a jiu-jitsu competitor. I'm not a jiu-jitsu competitor. You want me to get to the gym more? Fuck no.
Yeah,
I am an incredible fucking mindset coach though, for athletes, for business owners, for anyone that's, you know, wanting to move through high stakes, high pressure situations. And that, like, that's the subtlety,
that's the key really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned something really cool that I want to touch on here, which we haven't spoken on yet. And you've done this a couple of times. I remember seeing you speak at your house once and you were talking at the time about...
That's a throwback.
Yeah. What was your journey through your competitions? It was like you spoke about 2 seasons. Well, I don't know if you call them seasons, whatever. 2 comps, I don't know.
This is fitness modeling, yeah?
Yeah, the fitness modeling.
Yeah.
And back then you spoke about how the first time through you listened to everything the coach said.
Yeah.
And you did everything that your coach said.
Yeah.
And you, like, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I think that, you know, like where you were meant to be versus where you were, you didn't quite get there. Is that correct? If I remember right, on the first time around listening to everything that you said.
Yeah.
And then, like, your whole body was fucked up afterwards, right? Yeah. If I remember right. Right. And then the next time you listened to yourself.
Yeah.
You just told him what he wanted to hear, but you listened to yourself and your performance was better.
Yes.
You performed better the second time round. And then what you just mentioned then, you know, like that's about listening to your inner voice.
Yeah.
Right. And not, yes, you may have people around you who are the best, but you got to listen to that inner voice on whether it's a fuck yes or a fuck no. It'll tell you, your inner voice will tell you what you need to do.
Yeah.
It will tell you what's most aligned for you. It will tell you things that you need to hear and what's most aligned, that is the most uncomfortable shit that you could ever fucking do. It's telling you that. It's trying to get you to go in a specific direction. And I just love what you said then as well, like the same thing. It's like, well, my coach said this.
Yeah.
I needed to do this. And in yourself, you're like a visceral fuck no.
Yeah.
And it's about listening to that inner voice.
Yeah.
Because the truth is if you valued his opinion and valued his knowledge and valued what he wanted for you more than you wanted for yourself, you would do what he said and you would end up in a mad feedback loop giving you feedback that this isn't aligned for you.
Mm.
But you made the decision based on what was most aligned for you.
Yeah.
And look what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and you stuck with what your inner voice wanted. You stuck with what you're doing. And guess what? You got an outcome.
Mm.
You fucking won, dude. Now, you won. Well, you won listening to your inner voice and, you know, and but also like the mindset work that you do, you know, after the conversation that we had before this, you know, it's a big difference between an individual who's coming on like settled and clear and like present versus an individual who's jacked up or like in a fight or flight response, basically, totally different regions of the brain. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent. But so listening to that inner voice, that's also super fucking important when it comes down to like knowing who you are.
Yeah.
But the crazy part is that it's like a muscle.
Totally.
Like the more you've listened to the opinions and valued the opinions on the outside and all the voices on the outside, the fucking quieter that voice has got over time.
Yeah.
And eventually you don't even fucking hear it anymore.
Yeah.
You can't even tune into it, but it's still there. It's still whispering.
Yeah.
As an individual, I guess a takeaway from this podcast for people, take the time to listen to that whisper.
Yeah.
Because eventually when you listen to that whisper, it gets louder, and the louder it gets over time, the less the fucking noise, like the noise and the opinions on the outside even fucking interfere with your direction in life.
Yeah.
Because it's going to direct you. It's going to lead you in the direction that's most inspiring for you and that's most fulfilling for you.
Mm.
But that's I guess if we look at that, though, that's a part of the life journey too.
Yeah.
You know, we pick that stuff up over time for specific reasons, and then part of the journey is get rid of them. But if you've never taken the time and never listened to yourself and listened to your intuition and what's whispering to you and telling you where you're meant to go and what's right for you, and for some people that can be a feeling, you know, like the yes, no. Like most people know the fuck no, fuck yes, but they ignore it. They're dissociated out of their body.
Totally.
It's a fuck no. It's like, well, for me, it's deep in the pit of my gut. I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah.
It's a fuck yes. I feel it radiating out of my heart.
Yeah.
I know the difference.
Absolutely. You
know, but I didn't always know the difference.
Absolutely.
I didn't always know the difference. So like there was a time there where I fucking was just in my head all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I didn't know fucking how to feel. So, just coming back, it's like, well, like knowing what to say yes to, knowing what to say no to, and listening to that inner voice, which right now you might be going, what the fuck is he talking about? It's because you've never heard it. It's because you've never felt it.
Yeah.
It's not a good or a bad thing. It's because you need, like, it's about tuning into it.
Amen.
And listening to yourself. And so when you do that, you also become quite a fucking powerful individual because no one can fuck with you.
Amen.
Doesn't mean that it's not challenging. Doesn't mean that it's not hard. Doesn't mean that it's not uncomfortable. Doesn't mean that it makes life easy. In fact, the truth is like listening to that and becoming purposeful within yourself comes with a whole range of fucking challenges that most people don't even think about.
Yeah.
You know, because it's pretty easy to fucking fit in.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty easy to go with the crowd.
Yeah.
Right. Which then has its associated challenges because you're getting inner feedback about that too. You know, your own conflict within yourself, your own criticism of yourself. But if you start to listen to your inner voice, you start to hear those voices on the outside.
Yeah.
Start to get criticism on the outside. Fucking people saying things about you, calling your names, you know, and so then it becomes a challenge of listening to the inner voice. Can I deal with the outer voices fucking being critical of me?
I had the experience, as you said there, like listening to your inner voice. I had, I think it was 2 weeks out from the comp. So normally I'd go into training on the Tuesday. Tuesday morning I woke up, I was like, I feel like shit today. Do I want to go to training? Or do I want to have a bath? and I had a bath instead. I did go to training. Wednesday, I roll up to training and one of my teammates is like, where the fuck were you yesterday? I was like, I was in the bath. Like, what the fuck? You've got a comp coming up. Anyway, I rolled with him and the whole 5-minute roll, he was like punishing me for skipping training to have a bath. And it was so interesting because I was like, there was this little part of me internally that was like, oh, is he right? You know, like he's much higher belt than me. Is he right? Should I have come to training yesterday? And I sat with it and went, I know that Tuesday morning I felt like shit. So yes, I could have gone to a training session, but I probably wouldn't have learned anything. I probably would have had really shit drills and roles because I was feeling like shit. I wasn't really present. I was in like a fight or flight response. So instead I rested. And Wednesday I went back and yes, I got smashed the whole training session for not being there on the Tuesday, but I was well rested. And so whilst for those, you know, every role where I got smashed as punishment, I learned so much, right? And I was able to emotionally hold it. I was able to emotionally be with what it's like to just get tapped out every 2 seconds, you know, and the whole time I was like, okay, damn it, that time I put my hand there, that's why I got tapped out that time. Or this time I put my leg here, that's why I got tapped out that time. I guarantee if I did what I should have done and gone to training on the Tuesday instead of having the bath, what on paper makes sense to train more, my Wednesday session probably would have been shit and the Tuesday session would have been pointless as well. Mm. You know, and like I'll be the first to say, the whole prep, I was like, am I fucking myself over here for resting as much as I am for skipping out on training sessions just because I don't feel like it? And I mean, maybe the gold medal was a fluke. The 2 gold medals is a fluke. And
you don't truly believe that though.
No.
So let's not maybe it. Let's listen to yourself. Like it's like, well, you know.
And that's the thing. I trust my inner knowing. Like I can't explain the feeling, but it's like I know she knows some shit. You know, some shit that I can't yet put into words, or I can't eloquently as she knows, I can't find those words, you know? And I think that's the thing that we all get to tap into.
Mm-hmm. It's just learning to tap into it and tune into it.
Yeah.
Like it's literally a muscle.
Yeah. Amen. But,
and I think one of the keys for those who are maybe unsure on what we're talking about, and I guess even this in itself could be challenging for some people, it's just getting present with yourself and listening, like without the distractions.
Totally.
You know, or listening to that inner knowing, like, and look, the way I describe it personally is it's not like a voice in my head that's talking. It's just like I might get the answer, like just pop in, or I feel it. Like I just, it's almost like the feeling has a message in it and I understand it.
Yeah.
And this can be different for different people, but it's different between, you know, like talking to yourself versus like that inner knowing and the inner voice.
Yeah. And I think like the key in learning, I mean, I started learning how to listen to my inner voice literally by going, do I want to eat at this place or do I want to eat this? You know, I'd look at a menu and go, do I want the chicken parmesan or do I want the salad? And then I'd just tune into like, what does my body say? Mm-hmm. And the quickest way that I learned to trust what was my inner knowing and what wasn't was like how it played out. And, you know, again, recognizing that like, as we sort of said at the start of the podcast, you can't get it wrong. And so, you know, like just being willing to kind of, it's all feedback. It's all data collection, right? I always refer to data collection. Just keep collecting data and over time you'll figure out what's true and what's not. I have a quote up in my room that says, what is the secret of success? Right decisions. And how do you make right decisions? Experience. And how do you get experience? Wrong decisions.
Wrong decisions.
Right. So it's like, I mean, like, and it sounds silly, but like start with low stakes, like go to a restaurant and look at the menu and go, what do I want? Do I want this or do I want this? And maybe you'll think that your inner knowing is saying, get the chicken parmy. And then you get the chicken parmy and be like, well, that was shit. And I don't want that again. Well, maybe that feeling that I was tapping into was something else, you know? So, yeah, it's all just data collection. I mean, there's still times where, like, I had it just before I got on the podcast with you, I had a thing pop up of this is what I want to do in business. And I've been picking it apart kind of in the background ever since. I'm like, will that work? I don't know. Could it come across like this? I don't know. Like, could this happen as a result of it? Like, all the reasons why it's not a good idea. I'm going to do it anyway. it will either result in me being like, that was a brilliant idea, and that was my inner knowing giving me some wisdom that I hadn't fully seen for myself yet, or it was some silly egoic thing that popped up and it doesn't work in my favor, in which case, cool, learning, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. But maybe also too, then you've got to ask, was that what I needed, the learning? And amen. not the win on the outside, but the learning exactly. that came along with it, you know? So, because sometimes too, your inner knowing isn't necessarily, like I said, it can be uncomfortable, challenging, etc.
Totally.
But sometimes it's guiding you because there's something in there that you need to learn that you wouldn't learn otherwise, you know? And that comes through not achieving the result that you thought you were going to get.
Yeah. I think the lesson in all of this is you can't get it wrong.
Well, you can't. Yeah. No, you really can't, you know, and it comes all the way back to my story at the start. You know, at the time, I looked at my journey, like at the time going through the things I was going through, I thought I got it wrong. Compared my life to my friends and where they were at in business, and they had homes and houses and, you know, like where they were in that part of their journey and all that sort of stuff. And the comparison to those people just amplified the shame that I had in myself because I didn't have what they had on the outside. But when you actually piece it together and you get the wisdom out of it, you realize that no, it was all divine, and that's exactly how it was meant to be, because the things that I received from that and what I got out of that has led me to exactly where I needed to be.
Yeah.
And I couldn't give what I give to the world to the degree that I give it to the world if I never went through those experiences.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't get it wrong. You can definitely speed up your process, I believe in that, but I don't think you can get it wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like it's not a right or wrong journey. It's just a fucking journey. Which comes down to like, if we, you know, you go, well, right or wrong, well, why does the universe provide contradictions? Right? Why are things contradictory? Why is the universe full of it? And it comes down to this one point. It's that the universe is trying to get you back to listen to yourself. Because without contradiction, if we only have one right side, it's like if you break this down, if we only had right and right was the only way to go, there would only be one path and everyone would go that path in life and there would be no diversity in anything, and the universe can't operate that way.
Yeah.
So you have contradictions, and the purpose of contradictions to a human being is the fact that a contradiction makes you have to go within to then make the decision for yourself.
I love your brain.
So the contradiction brings you back to you, to that voice.
Yeah.
Because you can talk to Bob will tell you one thing. You talk to Joan will tell you the opposite.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Even in science, like we talk about science, right, and the scientific method. Everything that's supposedly proven by science also has an anti-thesis on it that says the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, or like over time, the scientific method all of a sudden is proven to be incorrect, and so then it goes the other way and flips the other way. But everything is full of contradiction. So you got to come back to you. It's always trying to force you back to you.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I can't have to talk to you forever. So we'll have to have you back on the show soon.
I'd love to.
If people want to find you, where can they find you?
So it's at Justin Wiseman Coach on Instagram. That's the main place. As I spoke to you about earlier today, I haven't been overly active on socials recently, but it is I will be getting back on there in the next few weeks. So,
and you do have a backlog of pretty incredible content, so
yeah, go and have a listen, maybe get triggered by some of it, enjoy that.
Beautiful. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, just thanks for having me on, and thanks for having the chat, and I love having these chats because I never know where they're going to go when we start. You know, who would have thought at the start I would have been talking, but at the end about contradictions and then leading you back to yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that. Like every other kind of guest, I sort of have a rough idea of what I want to talk about. And you and I kind of were like, oh, what direction do we want to take this? And then I was like, oh, let's just see where we end up. Cause no matter where we end up, it's going to be gold. Like that's one thing I know. We always end up in the magic.
Well, I think it's like if I have a look at the whole conversation, like as always, I say divine, it's been perfect. Like the whole thing has led us to this one point of coming back to listening to yourself.
Yeah.
Which even the discovery of oneself is to listen to oneself and to be honest about that. You know, it's always, everything's leading us back to us.
Yeah. Amen.
The universe is beautifully designed that way, people. No matter what you think. So, but yeah, I've loved it. It's been awesome to be on, dude. So.
Thank you, Justin. You know I think the world of you.
You too, dude.
This brings us to the end of another episode of the Live Free Experience. To say thank you for your support in our relaunch, I want to offer you a live and free coaching masterclass. High Performance Nervous System Regulation is a 1-hour masterclass experience designed to support you in mental and emotional regulation for high pressure situations. This is perfect for you if you're looking to further develop your athletic career, your business management skills, or your mental, emotional, and relational skill sets. Nervous system regulation is key in living the life of your dreams, and think of this as the next level version of nervous system regulation, so that you can make grounded, centered, and non-reactive decisions in high speed and high stakes circumstances. To sign up or register for the replay if you can't make it live, head to www.thelivefreeexperience.com and enter your details. Lastly, I'm a real human back here and I would love your feedback. Please drop me a review or reach out and let me know what you've gained from the episode. Even better still, tag me in your social media stories and I can share your learnings across to my story too. You can connect with me on Instagram at www.instagram.com/BriannaBowley. Thank you for being here, and until next time, know that you are seen, you are appreciated, and you are loved.